Well, this got a little bigger than I thought, so I took some stuff out because I didn't want to go over, but I hope I have enough here, because you know me, I'm usually pretty quick. If you would turn to John 13:34, the title of this study, As I Have Loved You. John here writes, and this is Jesus speaking, says, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Then in John 15:12, This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And I looked up the word commandment in the Strong's for both of these verses. It's the same word in the Greek. It's number G1785. And it's entole. I hope I got that right. It means injunction. That is an authoritative prescription, commandment, precept. I kind of like that authoritative prescription. I've been getting a lot of prescriptions these days from the doctors, and they give you about 5 pages of instructions with each one. Tells you how to take it, when to take it, what can go wrong if you take too many, or if you don't take enough, or what the stuff in the pill can do to you, the side effects. And those instructions are written by an authority. And hopefully, if they're followed correctly, the patient will get well. Pardon me. That smoke really gets to me. Well, I hope tonight that as we go through this, that we find that this is the prescription for love. And that Jesus is the supreme authority on the subject. He that loveth not, in John, 1 John 4:8, sorry, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And God didn't create love or become love. He is love. He just always was love. And because he is love, he created us. Love is meant to be shared, and I may say that again later. And I thought about that before he made us, he created the world and made the perfect environment for us that had the right amount of oxygen and the right food, everything we needed to live, because he wanted to take care of us. And even the stars, the planets, everything has its purpose, but that was because of love. And if we go to, and I know you guys know a lot of these scriptures, but I'm hoping it all falls into place to help us understand this, that as I have loved you, and that's God speaking to us. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. It says, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When did God love us? Was it when we deserved it? Was it when we were perfect? Was it when we were lovely? Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, for when we were yet, oh, I'm going to turn there. I like to read it out of the Bible in case I get a wrong reference. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we were without strength, when we could do no good, and believe me, I know that, I was a rotten from a kid. And I knew it, and I knew I was a sinner. When I was 6 years old, I was already worried about going to hell. But while we were sinners, when we couldn't love him, that's when he loved us. And this is kind of something that happened in my Sunday school class. I was talking to the kids, and I said, you all love Jesus, don't you? And one of them said, I don't. And I appreciated his honesty, and he wasn't saved. And so he was being honest. And he did get saved that week. But when we couldn't love him, that's when he loved us. We love him because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. And again, in John 15:9, it says, I'm going to turn there. Just got to be patient with me. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And I think of the love that the Father has for his Son. And I think of their love for us. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that a little later too. And Psalms 86:5, I do have a lot of scriptures. I was going to bring my dill pickle bandages because they're kosher. And I forgot them. I like kidding around like that between Scott and Ty and myself. Joe every once in a while back there. It's a guy thing. Okay, Psalms 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. I like that, ready to forgive. Now that's love. Think back to 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And in 1 John 3:11, it says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And Ephesians 1:4. I was thinking, was that from the beginning when we got saved? Or from the beginning when we were chosen in him? I think there's a lot of beginnings we could choose for that. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I think we're starting to see a theme here. love. And if God so loved us, and as I have loved you, and so have I loved you, and then that ye love one another, that ye also love one another, and continue thou in my love. Love has to be shared. I think I said that a little earlier. I know if I love somebody, I like to share that love with them. I like to let them know it. Some of the girls I loved didn't really love me back, but that was okay. It probably wouldn't have worked anyway. And, you know, while we were the enemies of God, while we could do nothing good, while we were unlovely, God so loved us that he gave his only son, who loved us. That's Jesus who loved us. And what does he want from us? Love. Thank you. Then we'll go to 1 John 4, 20 and 21. There's a lot of loving in 1 John 4. There's a lot of loving in this book, I found out. Okay, 4, 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. I mean, you know, what does it say? As I have loved thee, that's God loving us, we ought to love one another. So we have a part in this. I had to get around to that sooner or later. I think you knew it was coming. And we have no excuse. This is what the scriptures say, that if we love God, we love our brother. And I know there's a lot of that around here. I appreciate you guys and your love. Okay, Ephesians 3. I'm going to quit telling you the verses so I can keep up with you. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I really want to just talk about that love that passeth knowledge right now. Because sometimes you wonder, how can I love that person? How could Jesus love me? But we can know that love. And what is this love that passeth knowledge? Is it the love that loves our enemies? I know in due time it says Christ died for the ungodly. We were his enemies. And Luke 6:27 says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. So I think that love that passes understanding is loving our enemies. I mean, usually we want to hate back. Somebody's hating, we want to hate back. I struggle with that at times. And is this the love that covers a multitude of sins? Proverbs 10:12. says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." And I don't know about you, but I've noticed sometimes that people that don't want to forgive something try to spread their hatred, or, you know, among other people, they try to cause divisions, gossip, try to get you to take a side. And pretty soon, if people listen to them or choose sides, you have strifes, plural, not just one. And that's not pretty. Jesus loves the saints. He loves all of us, right or wrong. And he forgives. And it says that ye love one another as I have loved you. I know I don't really have to go to this verse because we all know it, but it helps with the lesson. So, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Do we restore such an one in the spirit of vengeance? We like payback, don't we? No, we restore in a spirit of meekness. It's hard to be humble sometimes, especially when you're right. especially when the other guy's wrong. We like to point. Do we put it out there for all to see? You know, do we point it out to everybody? Well, you know what? We'd better go look in a mirror. Because what does it say? Consider thyself. We can get to thinking that we're better than the other guy, and we can do a lot worse than he did. And I like this in Galatians 6. I'm sorry, verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I think that says it. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's verse 23 also. And then I want to go to 4:1-3. This is Paul. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Much better solution than revenge. Is this the love that loves the unlovely. How do we look at people that might come in that door? Do we judge them by the way they're dressed, their lifestyle, and I don't even know if I should say this, their politics? I'm so thankful that the Lord's given me that greeting position at the door. I not only get to greet most of you as you come in, but the new people, and I always want to make them feel welcome. You never know who's going to walk in there. Jesus himself ate with publicans and sinners, hung around with unlearned and ignorant men. I want to go to Luke 7, 36 through 39. And one of the Pharisees desired him, this is Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Like I said, you never know which one of those people is going to come through that door will be the one that loveth much, because he's forgiven much. And Jesus tells Simon that parable about the two debtors that were both forgiven, but the one that was forgiven more loved more. Pardon me. I like in verse 37, it says she was a sinner. Now, she did get saved in this. Jesus told her, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. So she did get saved. But I thought about that where it says that in verse 37 before that, that in the foreknowledge of God, she was already saved. She was chosen from before the foundation of the world. Is this the love, this love that passes knowledge, the love of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7? I think we all know, pretty much know this. But some things I just really like to read. Charity, or love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. There's a lot of love in there. I'm not going to go over each one of those things. You'd probably tell me to put my mask back on. But I did want to point out that there are eight things in these verses that love does and eight things that love doesn't do. And I counted it twice. Yeah, that would be a whole nother Bible study, I think. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's going to give us plenty of opportunities to love one another as he loved us. You know, there's nothing negative here. It's all positive. We're not always going to agree with each other. We might have little problems, but that's him doing that work in us. If everything was perfect, you know, I might not know that Larry was such a good polisher for me. And I'm not accusing him of anything. He's just sitting there smiling at me. So, God has a plan for us, and he uses us to work the rest of us over, doesn't he? Polish us up a little bit. Ephesians 4:32, we all know this. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And here we go again. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Or even as God has loved you. I tell you, it's just all over the place. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love. I'm going to read 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. There is a sacrifice that comes with love. Jesus gave all for us. His Father gave all. Are we willing to give all for him? And I'm talking about our attitude of love here. Just might do it here. Think about the widow and her two mites. It wasn't the amount of offering that was so important. It didn't seem like much that she gave all. But it wasn't the amount of the offering. It was the attitude of her heart. That's the way we should be. We should be willing to give all, to love, to forgive all. We may need help. I'm not going to leave this out. Romans 5:5. Sometimes you might say, I just can't love that person. Or you say, Lord, I want to love them. I just don't know how. But it says in Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God has given us every provision, whether, and there were a lot of other things here, that we could have covered. I probably could have started with page 1, verse 1, and gone all the way to the end. And I know you'll be glad to hear this. First Peter 3, 8 through 11. I'm so glad God has a sense of humor. You ready? I know you're ready for it. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. I hope this has been a blessing, and it blessed my heart.